بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. So what he explained at the beginning is that when we will say اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, we are not only saying, oh Allah, show us the path. Because showing is something different. Taking along is something different. Pulling along the path is something different. Many a person has been shown the path, warned of the pitfalls. But when you get onto it, you forget everything. When it becomes dark, you don't even know. Then there is a second one which is called a friend takes you along a journey. Sometimes that friend knows the journey so well that you will not even realize that the journey is difficult. Those people who take others for hikes deep in the mountains, they know it so well that a very difficult and dangerous journey becomes easy. So you go out with a person during the day. He stops at different areas to show you. It's extremely beautiful. But you're always looking that this is a scary patch. If a person has to slip your way, he will fall. Normally you reach there before sunrise, you enjoy the sunset, and then the person says, now we have to start getting down. So with the thoughts, they start their journey, but it's getting darker. One person in the crowd is thinking that there was that one spot which is a little scary. So he says to the guide, when you come to that one, they just warn us beforehand. Because that one was like, we could slip in that one. One slip and we're gone. And the guide says, we already passed that. Means he's such a master guide that he took you in the darkness through such a dangerous area. But he never even bothered of warning you it's dangerous. All he needed was that you follow him step by step. This is a second type of hidayah. This is the hidayah that came with the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. That just put your foot in my footstep. And there will be certain places which thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions slipped. But I won't even have to explain to you how they slipped, how the devil caught them. There's no need for it. All you have to do is what the Nabi of Allah said, if you love Allah, then all you need to do is follow me. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ Allah will love you. Such a master on this road. Such a master. He did not have to explain a lot of issues. He would not explain the harm of using the left hand for eating. He would just say that Allah loves that which is from the right. Then he would use his right hand in everything clean. There was no explanation. There was no tahqiq and details. There was no bayan of the benefit of the right over the left. It was one action that he said, you will use your right hand. And his entire ummah started using the right hand. Many of them would never know why they used the right hand. Until you would enter into a shaitani world. And there you will see everyone using the left hand. And you will wonder, what made them use? Are you left hand dominant? So they'll say, no, my right hand is the stronger hand. And then why do you eat with your left hand? They say, that's how it is. They say, it's not like that. Someone taught you how to do it. They learned a system of the devil. But the one who used the right hand never understood this. That there was something so evil in the usage of the left hand. A Nabi was needed. He said, just do as I do. His wording were many a time this. He said to a Sahabi radiallahu anhu whose trouser was dropping. It was flowing over the ankle. There was going to be no need for a long lecture to explain the harms of having your trouser low. All he said is my sunnah not sufficient for you? The Sahabi said, I looked. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lower garment. I saw where it came to, half shin. That's all he said. He said, is my sunnah not sufficient? There was no bayan. There was no explanation why. The Sahabi would never ask why. He said, a master guide. I will not have to explain to you where people fall. Just walk on my path and you will see the journey becomes very easy. Then there is that level of hidayah which is Allah's. That even a Nabi cannot do. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a hadi guide. All he could do is say to his uncle that even if you do not want to read the kalima loudly, read it softly. That I will intercede for you in front of Allah. I'll be the only witness. That's all he could do. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهَدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. He was not given that last level of hidayah, that you can guide who you wish. That level of hidayah has been reserved for Almighty Allah. That level of hidayah is called a pull. يَجْتَبِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. Almighty Allah just grabs. Whoever He wants to, He grabs. Sometimes a person doesn't want to be grabbed. That fish that's moving in the water, one fish went to bite the worm. When it got stuck, how that fish starts running, how it starts moving in the water, at what speed, you just see that reel moving. But the fisherman is not going to let go. He's going to pull it in. They are those fortunate servants of Almighty Allah. That Almighty Allah looks at them like the fish who wants to run away. But the fisherman says, you're not going. Those are the most fortunate. That even if they try to run from Allah, Allah just pulls them back. Something happens, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, written while still in the womb of the mother, that this is indeed a fortunate soul. He says, then you will see this man doing the actions of the people of Jahannam. And then taqdeer, the knowledge of Allah, takes over. And he does one action which is from the people of Jannah. And he dies immediately after, and he's from the people of Jannah. That hidayah. And even if he wasn't on the path, no one saw him, he never saw himself. يَجْتَبِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Will ever someone be asking Allah, how come? You can't. Almighty Allah chooses as He wishes. He chooses. He is Allah. In إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. We will never ask Allah, why did you choose someone? Why did you do like that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a man of extreme justice. But permission was given to him amongst his wives. He did not have to be just. Permission was given, but he would not do that. He observed that level of complete justice. But the law was, you don't have to be. That law was to say to the wives that he's being just to you is his kindness. It's not your right. So appreciate his justice. In a normal marriage, if you take a second wife, third wife, fourth wife, you have to be just. And the wife can stand up and say, most of the time the wife who's coming number two, she'll always say, you know me, I just want a husband once every 2 weeks. And all my rights, I don't want it. So the person comes and he says, you know, this girl is so good. She said she doesn't want my money. She doesn't want rights. She just wants me every... But which woman will live up to that? After she gets married, if she really tells you that I only want to see you once a month, it means something is wrong with you. She's going to tell you where you are. Then she'll take out the book, Rights of the Wife. You'll tell her, didn't you give over your rights? She says, but see, I never knew I got these rights. I'm only reading the manual now. Because before I was a second wife, there was no kitab for the second wife. What's my rights? I bought it after. She says, it says here that if you give that one night, you must give me one night. Now where are you going to go? But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never have to do that. But still he maintained justice. Still. Then permission was given to him. He can choose. He can choose whichever wife he wants to bring close. And whichever one he wants to let go, keep far. And then he had ijazat to choose that if ever he desired to take another wife, or from the wealth that came in what was called the wealth of Islam because of wars, if Allah's Nabi wanted to choose, if he had to see a slave girl, she was the daughter of a leader, he felt it is not appropriate a normal sahabi just takes her. For the sake of spreading the deen of Islam, it's the honor of that girl that she enters into the house of Nubuwa, he could choose. And no sahabi could ever say, oh Allah's Nabi, is this justice? They would never, because he brought the principles of justice. Now when the time came to choose, no wife would ever be able to say, oh Nabi of Allah, I am not happy why you are choosing another woman. He couldn't say that. But what they could do is, every wife could compete to be the most beloved wife. No one could question, why are you choosing another wife? That they couldn't do. That permission was given by Allah. But every wife could compete to be the most beloved. That when Allah's Nabi would come to her, each one would try to just hold him back. Even if it meant only a few more moments. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Asr Salah would visit his wives. Now honey comes in the share of one wife, honey. She knows that Allah's Nabi loves honey. So what she will do immediately, a little milk and honey. Oh Nabi of Allah, how are you? Everything okay? Just before going, you don't want some honey? Allah's Nabi loves honey. Honey. Because in the house of Nubuwa there was hardly anything. Quickly, quickly, I'll get you. But that quickly, quickly is a few minutes extra. And that few minutes meant so much that the other wife picked up. That how come is a few minutes extra in that house? And again, the next time, same thing happened. First time, it's possible some work. Now they ask a question. They realize honey is holding him back. How long are you going to wait for the honey tub to get finished? So the other wife will not allow that. They start speaking. Somehow we have to stop him. That he can't drink honey. Because if he's going to drink that every time, he's going to spend a few minutes extra, our minute is cut off. How much they wanted Allah's Nabi. How much. In their jealousy also was an ibadah. In their jealousy. But sometimes they pushed it a little, and that's when Almighty Allah took them to task. So the one wife says to the other, how are we going to stop this? So the wife says that when he comes to you, you must say that, oh Allah's Nabi, there's a smell by your mouth. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved that his mouth be clean. So much miswak he made. So she said, what's that smell? And he would say, what smell? She said, oh no, don't worry about it. Maybe you ate from a certain tree. So if one person says it, it just troubles you. But she goes to the next wife. And the next wife says, what's that smell? Maybe from a certain tree, and that tree had that smell. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just like upset. Either he understands already that his two wives are upset, and they just made a story. Or he just puts him off and he says, I'm not going to have that honey. But how do I tell that wife next time when I go that I'm not in the mood of honey because your honey doesn't smell nice? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to this wife that, okay, I'm not going to have that, but don't tell her anything. She'll feel bad. And wives are wives, and then the story will spread and Almighty Allah will send down wahi, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will say to the wife, like, why did you do things like that? What I'm trying to say to you is they could not stop him. They could not stop him and ask, oh Allah's Nabi, why are you spending more time there? It's not fair. That they could not ask. But all of them could do something to compete for extra time. Now when it comes to me and you with Almighty Allah, we cannot stop Almighty Allah choosing who He wants to choose. There might be that person walking in front of me and you, which we see within him nothing. He's in drugs. He's in alcohol. For which reason it's said that, oh pious person, never ever look down on anyone. Because the decision is not ours. So he's walking past, if the judges of the world had to give him a mark, none of them will give him even one. But for some reason, Almighty Allah has already chosen. Whatever the reason was. Maybe he's a drunkard. But maybe when he gets sober, there's a certain girl in his house, an orphan. He just looks at her with kindness. He goes, he brings some bread, he leaves it, and then he goes. Maybe that action of his. Maybe his mother is making a dua for him. Maybe one cat. He gave the cat a little milk to drink. We'll never know people's lives. But something he did, we just made him Allah's. We will never be able to say, oh Allah, this is not a fair deal. I saw him. I did so much and he did nothing. That we can't do. But we can compete for extra time. When we will say, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, it is, oh Allah, will you pull me also? Will you pull me also? So many you have pulled sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. You have pulled so many. The anbiya were made yours. Siddiqeen, the completely truthful, were made yours. Shuhada were made yours. Salihin were made yours. So many were made yours. I can't ask why. But I can ask you, what about me? This is our ihdinas sirat al-mustaqim. When we read Surah Fatiha, then read it with this amount of feeling. And oh Allah, what about me also? The right to select is yours. Will you also select me? And when that individual gets selected, then now it is not I have to put my foot in the footstep of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now it is my leg cannot move except on his path. That's when a poet would say, "Ye qadam utte nahi, uthaye jate." That I have now found my leg. My feet are no longer lifting. It is being lifted. My feet are no longer lifting. It is now being lifted. Me aya nahi laya gaya. Then he says, you think I came here? I never came. I was brought. He says, now somebody else has taken over me. Me aya nahi laya gaya. May Allah tabarukala make us like that also. He grabs us and we move on his command. The journey then becomes extremely, extremely easy, and reaching Almighty Allah becomes very, very fast. With regards to a slight explanation of surah, Tabbat yada abi lahab yu watab. This is a surah which speaks regarding the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Lahab. Lahab refers to flames. He was known as the father of flames because his cheeks, it was not white, it was white with red. And the Arabs liked this color, this was beauty. From the people of the Quraysh, he was one of the wealthiest. So looks, wealth, and his wife was known as the mother of beauty, Ummu Jamil. So he had a very pretty wife. That house had it all. And then he had a lot of children, sons and daughters. If you're asking them, what were you missing? Because normally a man who's healthy is not wealthy. And if a man got health and wealth, then maybe he hasn't got beauty. And if a man got it all, then you'll tell him something can't be, you can't get everything in this world. So maybe you don't have such a nice wife. And if you got a very pretty wife, then you'll say then maybe you got no children. If he got children, you'll say, maybe only boys, maybe only girls. He got it both. Someone had to look at Abu Lahab's life. What don't you have? He was the leader of the Quraysh. He had it all. But because he did not have Hidayah, he had nothing. The surah will show that. Tabbat. He lost it all. He lost it all. Scholars write that Surah Tabbat Yada is actually a title referring to every group of people who will oppose the deen of Allah and will be a barrier from da'wah. Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Your family who is close, go and warn them now. So he stands on Mount Safa. On Mount Safa he calls his family. So this is da'wah. And Abu Lahab is very angry with this call. So they call him a hajib, a ha'il, a hajiz, a barrier. A barrier between a da'i, the caller, and the one who is calling. And they explain that this surah is giving a warning to whoever wants to stand in the line of Abu Lahab, that the result of Abu Lahab will be your result. One is, in every era, the deen of Islam has very great opponents. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the greatest agents of Dajjal will be two. One, he said, the people of interest. The people of interest. In the beginning era, it was the Jews. And their level of interest was what we know. They created wars amongst the Arabs. And they dealt in interest. But as we went closer, and we now came very close to the time, the leaders of interest took a new name. They took it the international banks. And when the banking system was started, and there's a lot of research behind this, something to read, how countries opposed the banking system. How when it needed to start in America, it never managed. So much of opposition that it had to be shelved for another 100 years. 100 years means whoever opposed it all died. But the devil wasn't going to die. He could wait for a whole generation to go. He saw the mistakes he made. He wasn't going to make it second time. The banking system, when it was established, everything in it looked so good. Everything. Otherwise you'll think, what would make man give away gold? The world gave away their gold to establish a banking system. He said, the first agents of Dajjal will be the people of interest. They grab the wealth of the world in their pockets. And with that wealth, then they could rule and say whatever they wanted. And the second agent of Dajjal, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, woman. In the surah, both agents are spoken to. Abu Lahab and your wife. The man opposes and the woman next to him. She will use her beauty, and we see it in the market. It is called the music industry. It's called the film industry. I wonder if there is any movie that features only males. Why they have to bring a woman into the movie? And if they bring a woman into the movie, I don't think today there's any movie except that the man and the woman, even if it is a cartoon, a comedy, a child film, they must engage in kissing, hugging relations. That woman, she's acting only to show her body. How they brought it in. Once I mentioned in the time when Shakespeare was just starting, at that time in England, for a girl not to have a scarf on was not allowed in the entire land. Now today if you go and visit England, and if you find one girl with a scarf on, one Christian girl, the only time now she puts a scarf on if she's getting married. I don't know if still they do it, but in the past, recent times, they, when getting married, then they actually wear hijab also. They put on the parda that now my husband will lift it up. But it's so stupid because that husband already knows how you look. That's the only time she'll cover her face, that now when he lifts it, he'll get shocked at what he saw. Say, it's you. But otherwise, she'll never cover. But where they learned that from? They learned it because it was custom amongst them that before marriage, a boy cannot kiss a girl. And he would not kiss. He would not kiss. Then Shakespeare came. Shakespeare needed the girl to act in a play. But he knew if he has to bring a girl in the play, then he will be taken to court. How can you have a girl? So you had to have a boy acting like a girl. A boy to dress up like a girl. Just to see what the feelings of the royal family was. If they were going to get angry and say, punish him. You say, it's not a girl, it's a boy. And if they were going to be happy about a girl acting and dressing up without a scarf, then soon can come the time where you can bring a real girl. But how far they were from immodesty and how quickly they fell into immodesty. The two agents of Dajjal was going to be the woman who would sell her body and the people of interest. Together they would unite to try to destroy the deen of Allah. Tabbat yada, right at the end of Quran, would say, you won't manage. You and all your wealth, and you and all your body, both of you are going into the burning fire of Jahannam. As for the deen of Allah, it will be safe. Why? Before it is, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. And after it is, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. When surrounded by Almighty Allah on both sides, where can the enemy of Allah ever survive? And Allah's name is on this side and Allah's name is on that side. Where the enemy will ever survive? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ on one side, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, say he is Allah most unique on the other. In between you got the enemy of Almighty Allah. He and his wealth, he and his woman, trying to defeat the deen of Allah. سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ. All that's going to happen is they're going straight into the fire of Jahannam. Why me and you need to know this? We are not going to see Abu Lahab. That Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw. How does Quran relate to me and you? We are going to see the agents who are Abu Lahab of our era. In the time of Abu Lahab, the surah became so stuck on the tongues of people that even sometimes the non-Muslim without intending would read Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab. His own children accepted Islam in his own life. In his own life they read it, they taught it to others. How hard it must have been. But deen was so unique that a child would read a surah against her father and mother. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. Whoever was going to read it was not going to fall in awe of Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab would now come, I am the master of the Quraysh. And Bilal radiallahu anhu could look at him, you think you're the master, but tabbat yada, you gone. In his own life, he passed away 7 days after the Battle of Badr. The surah was revealed in the initial era of Makkah Mukarramah. So many years the surah was read. So many years. Whoever read it, if Abu Lahab would say, you know who I am, he'd say, very well, Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab. And if his wife had to come and he says, how dare you, he'd say, Wa mara'atuhu. And as for his wife, she's also going in the fire. The people of Iman read the surah and the awe of the people of wealth and the beauty of the woman of beauty fell from their eyes. One surah. In our era, two people have created awe of fitan, which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fitnatu ummati al-mal, fitnatu ummati al-nisa. The trial of my ummah is wealth. And that wealth has been put up by the people of interest. They are the ones who put up huge buildings. They are the ones who put up empires. Those people who have the smartest of cars, they can't afford it, they take it on interest. Anything you need big, you need it interest. It looks so smart, so beautiful. It is a life of power, a life of esteem. And then you have the woman on the side, so beautiful. How she will show her body, how she will dance, how people will be in awe. They want her picture in their closets. They want it on their phones. That the believer who will read Tabbat Yada, when the people of wealth will come in front of him, that Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab will take away the awe. He will no longer say, amazing, you earn so much. Say, your value is so much. You are amongst the richest of the world. He will just look at that man and say, Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab Yu Watab. And when he will see a pretty woman, a dancer, a singer, an actress, a woman just standing next to the man who's riding his car, driving his car, riding his bike, that pretty girl showing her body, you will say, وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ. You are only picking up sticks. Picking up sticks for Abu Lahab's wife had its different meaning. For the woman of this world, it got a different meaning. Picking up sticks means you are so cheap, you, that for a little bit wealth of the world, which is like the sticks of this world, you're ready to sell your entire izzet. A man just gave you a few thousands and you showed your whole body. You're ready to allow anyone to touch you. You're so filthy and dirty. You're a woman who's just picking up sticks. Hammalatal hatab. Then you will look at a beautiful neck. That's how they show their neck. That's why in the neck they have a necklace with all the jewels around it to say, look at my neck. Fi jidiha hablum min masad. He says, in her neck I see nothing but the fire of Jahannam. That's her necklace. A poet of the past, a pious man, he said, don't look at the rosy cheeks of the females of this world. Rather, in that red cheeks, I want you to see the fire of Jahannam. Now when you see it, are you going to say, I wish I can kiss that cheek? That moment you will say, Allah, save me and my family. This surah was to take away the awe of the people of wealth and the shahwa for the woman of beauty of this world. To say, you look so smart and you look so powerful. But Abu Lahab and the wife of Abu Lahab both are in the fire. You're also going to land up in the fire. You can be the woman of beauty, the mother of beauty. You can be the father of beauty, the man of wealth. You oppose the deen of Allah. You're going nowhere but in the fire of Jahannam.